afternoon. Today is Monday, March the 24th, 83rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is St. Bernard's Catholic School President Dave Sharp. Hey, guy.
Hey, good afternoon.
You survived the open house, huh?
Yeah. Oh, definitely survived, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Squirrel.
More students, yeah.
Yeah. This afternoon, we'll talk a little bit about what the open house was all about, some of the messages that might have been there that would be pertinent if you don't know anything about it. You know, what do they say? Education is the ultimate goal? Notice I didn't read in the St. Bernard's that you had written on that piece of paper you gave me. The St. Bernard's education is the ultimate goal. Okay. We'll also talk a little bit about college applications, where the timeline is. If you've got a senior, what should they be hearing? Should they be panicking, or is everything okay? And we'll throw in a couple of extra things, I'm sure, when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Omar Ibn al-Khalif, noted Catholic source of quotes. Quote, four things come not back. The spoken word, the spent arrow, the past, the neglected opportunity.
Oh,
huh? Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Good choice.
So what was the biggest surprise for those attending the open house last week that you got from the playback, either from the parents or from the kids or from whoever happened to show up?
Well, one of my favorite things that we do that is kind of a nice effect is all of our teachers show up and a lot of our staff too. And they stand on the outside of the room, and at the very beginning, I offer a quick welcome, and then I say, let's go around the room and introduce one another. So our teachers just take turns, who they are and what they teach, and us being preschool through high school, it's interesting to have.
Takes about an hour and a half.
It takes a little while. And then we also have students in the back who come to serve as ambassadors and show the students around the school. It does take a little bit of time because there's so many people there, but it's kind of nice to, if you're a high school student that's interested in, art, there's the art teacher. I'm going to go talk to that person, right after this and get to know the art program at the school. So it's always kind of look at all these people, they're teachers. They're giving up their evening to be here with us tonight.
Was there a long line for Latin? Okay. I would like to tap in and just make sure,
Well, it's one of my favorite classes to show off in terms of going around the school. You're walking from classroom to classroom. Mr. Martin's classroom is, there's bear pelts. It's just a great atmosphere for learning, and not to mention, all the Roman architecture and everything else that goes along with Latin.
Well, don't forget the Bible too.
That's in there too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So what tends to be some of the areas of surprise for those? Have most of them been on campus before or in the building sometimes so that they at least are familiar with the structure and the physicalness of it?
We get a lot of, I've only been to the football field before. I've only been inside the gym before. I've never been inside the school. One surprise is, you guys have K through 12 all in one school, and it works out great for us. And that's kind of one surprise that you've got everybody here in the one school, yet it still feels small. And it's nice to have the little guys and the big guys in the halls together. That's always a good thing. That's kind of one of the things that comes up.
What about from the parents?
You know, the parents, they enjoy the opportunity to meet with the teachers. Some come in. We go from classroom to classroom. So if you're, let's say, the high school group, you're going to go from classroom to classroom to meet all of our teachers. And, you know, some parents want to get in there and ask details about the syllabus and the curriculum and everything from day one to day 180. And others just want to kind of, you know, just look around and get a feel for it. So that's a nice thing for them to be able to actually talk to a teacher in a subject that they're very interested in and make sure it's a good fit.
The staff at St. Bernard, or the faculty, it seems, I think most folks would have an impression that they're either really young, first job, or been there forever and remember meeting and greeting St. Bernard. Is that, are either of those accurate?
You know, it reminds me of kind of a perception of St. Bernard's that there are those extremes. Either some people think it's for only the elite, the rich that can afford it, and others think, oh, it's a reform school for everybody that got kicked out of some other school. Well, certainly it's neither of those extremes. It's definitely somewhere in the middle, and it's the same with our faculty too. You know, we certainly have a good core group of young, enthusiastic, energetic staff, but also, you know, some experienced folks that it's just a great mix. It really works out well for us.
One of the things that I find really frightening personally is now I'm talking to the kids of those that I went through school with, okay, whether it was at one of the local schools or at Humboldt, a little sobering. For those kids that went through themselves, you have a lot of their offspring coming back also. Mm-hmm. And so you got kind of a multi-generational thing going on, and a lot of the teachers recognize the family names, mm-hmm. and things of that, mm-hmm. nature.
Yeah, we certainly do. There are those families that kind of, you know, we see generations of them. Paul Shanahan, our dean of academics, had a great message when he spoke. He said that right across from my office is some old records. In those records is my grandfather's report card from the first grade in 1917. And now here he is with a second and a third grader of his own. And it's just, his parents met in those halls, and those generations, you know, can keep coming back. And, you know, what a great thing to have that, to span almost 100 years of family history, all being educated in the same place.
Grandpa now has a 4-point. Yeah, yeah. A little white out. Yeah, okay.
We can't write the curse of that well.
KINS, News and Information Times, 390.
Sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Dave, the concept of an open house is kind of to turn everybody loose and to find out what's going on. Mm-hmm. How do you determine if it's a thumbs up or a thumbs down? Is it food consumption? Is it attendance? Is it commentary in the hallway? Mm-hmm. How do you know if something is working or if there needs to be some improvement?
Well, we can measure it that evening with just, like you said, kind of comments that are made in the halls. Also, how long people stick around. That can be one measure. And then, you know, a week down the road when we, you know, are calling these families back to either, you know, set up an interview, set up a shadow day or another meeting, you know, finding out what their interest is at that point, too. You know, we do have those families that just, they want to stay and ask a lot of questions, and that's great, and we're there for them. we do get good feedback on those. And one of our best programs is our shadow program, where we have students shadow another student in their grade, and also the grade that they would be coming in next year, to get a sense of what it's like life as a student. So we can do that any day. Anybody that's interested, you just come for a day, act like a student at St. Bernard's, and really get a feel.
Of course, you have to be under 18.
Well, of course.
Yeah. I feel like being a student today.
Oh, we can make an exception.
Yeah, yeah. Put me in your class. See how disruptive I can truly become, huh? The follow-up that happens, is that part of the overall, when somebody says open house, that's mm-hmm. part of what everybody is to anticipate?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, we have folks sign up, give us their information so that we can reach them later. Kind of once the effects of the open house have, kind of faded a little bit, hey, here we are again. We'd certainly like to talk to you some more and answer those questions that you've thought up since that evening.
So who does that? Is that something that you get to do?
I make some of the phone calls, but we have a director of domestic emissions whose job is to do that sort of stuff and to, get folks interested, follow up with them, and then, get them in the door and head in the right direction.
So from the event last week, mm-hmm. general overall, everybody was kind of excited, lukewarm excited, really excited? I mean, what kind of sense did you have with the crowd that was there?
I had a sense of really excited, and here's one example of that. We had students from our fall open house, who prospective students, not students of ours yet, that were looking at going to St. Bernard's next fall. Some of those students that were at our fall open house showed up at our spring open house with some of their friends to kind of say, hey, look where I'm going next year. Why don't you take a look as well? So what better way to kind of get a good sense of, the school and why your friend thinks it's a great school than to come with them to an open house to experience what they saw?
So what are you looking at the next 3 or 4 weeks or so? Is that when the commitments start to happen and you start to get a sense then of what your class sizes are and what kind of curriculum you're going to be able to do, or how many sections of certain mm-hmm. classes will be available?
Yeah, we'll certainly get a good sense in the next month, the next 30 days, of what it is we can expect for next year. But then again, we have applications that really trickle in all the way up until the first day of school. So we prepare as best we can with the information that comes here in the spring. But, we're certainly open for folks that want to come really at any point.
Do you have an elementary school open house or a kindergarten open house for the lower levels, or is it just kind of one en masse and the herd goes through?
It's one en masse, and, we found that the best experience happens on those shadow days. So, finding a day where you can devote to, having your student come to St. Bernard's, walk around with the third graders or the fourth graders, that's the best sense of, yeah, this is the school for me. And we do get, the success rate for shadow days, there's a lot of smiles at the end of the day. And yeah, this is where I want to go.
Is that a requirement for a youngster to sign up?
But a strong encouragement that hey, come on, get a look at what it's like in this classroom with the teacher you're going to have next year.
I would think that would almost be a mandatory thing, because you don't want somebody coming in and then surprise. And maybe that's for the older class mm-hmm. levels too, mm-hmm. The junior high and the high school level, mm-hmm. to get a sense of what's going on.
Most families that are looking at, next year's enrollment right now take advantage of that opportunity. And of course, we get a lot of summer applications that, that's just not possible. But we still do bring them in, show them around, maybe call in a couple teachers to introduce themselves and, get a sense that way too.
So on the academic side, what's the biggest bragging point right now?
We're really looking at our college acceptances this month, since that's what's happening right now. Students getting information, acceptances back from their colleges of choice. As we get to the end of the month here, we're going to find more, hopefully, acceptances from the UCs. But, that's something that we've again, smiling faces are a good indicator of, how people are feeling and doing. And we've got a lot of happy seniors that have gotten into some really good schools.
Yes, that'll be what we have to talk about after the news break, huh?
Sounds good.
Thanks for the foreshadow there. But for the kids that were there for the open house, was it the schools that the kids that have gone to St. Bernard's go to? Is that one of the big excitement points?
What Mr. Shanahan said, Dean of Academics, in his kind of message was, he's got a second grader who's nose deep in a 400-page novel, a third grader that takes long division problems into bed to do at night, asking dad if it's okay, and then seniors who are telling him about all the colleges that they are getting into. So it's kind of, you know, yeah, it's nice to focus on the end result, but there's a whole process along the way that happens pretty early on that we're doing a good job at, too.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp from St. Bernard's. Before the break, you talked a little bit, alluded to, I think it's the collegial word, alluded to, some of the acceptances and what's going on this time of the year. End of March, I seem to recall somewhere around December was when, if you weren't hearing back, you started getting a little goosey. Now, I don't remember if that was for scholarships or if that was for college acceptance, mm-hmm. or for early acceptance, or your SATs or ACTs. Mm-hmm. But there seemed to be a January 10 is stuck in my head, and I have no reason why. Mm. Nobody's birthday I can recall. At this point, if the kids haven't received acceptance letters, is it starting to get a little concerning?
It would be. You know, we certainly encourage everybody to apply for a handful of schools so that you're getting, you know, a couple acceptance letters. March for us is kind of the, you know, the big deadline, because that's when we're seeing the UC admissions decisions. We've seen some, you know, some UC Davis decisions. We're awaiting a couple students who have applied to UC Berkeley who are expecting to get those this week. You know, Davis was an interesting example because their acceptance rate went from, you know, about 25% last year to around 10% this year, you know, a jump in applications. And, you know, the students that applied also knew their friends that applied a couple of years ago that had, you know, lower SAT, lower GPA than they have now. And we're saying, gee, how come I got kicked?
Yeah.
So we're seeing a little bit of tightening in that area. And
now, is that true with the entire UC network?
Well, the network is pretty large. So we do see, you know, if you're top of your class, you're going to get into a UC. Now, that could be, there's a gamut of UCs out there, but you do get guaranteed a spot in there. But for those kind of dream schools, you know, that particular student did get into UC Santa Cruz or Santa Barbara. But the Davis, the Berkeleys, kind of the Northern California ones have been a little bit more elusive in the last couple of years. And a lot of our students have also increased interest in the junior colleges, community colleges, you know, locally and also throughout the state. So that's not a bad option. You know, that's a good way. Also, it's very economical.
But do you get acceptance letters from junior colleges also?
Yeah, you get decisions usually a little bit quicker than the universities, but nonetheless, yeah.
What about private schools? Yeah, you're talking about the Bay Area. I know that there seems to be a predilection inside the hallowed halls at SB for Santa Clara, which I still kind of am a little stunned and amazed at. But, you know, that's there, USF, mm-hmm. A number of schools throughout the state, throughout the region, and throughout the country. Mm-hmm. Do the privates operate on the same general timeline as those public schools that you were referencing?
Yeah, by and large, I think everybody's got a pretty similar calendar. St. Mary's is another school that's popular for our students to apply to. And we certainly do encourage that, you know, kind of look at area, look at public versus private. And, you know, we certainly encourage our students to look at, you know, look at some private schools, kind of look, don't look at the cost right now, apply for aid scholarships and see, you know, see what happens.
So, what, by the end of next week
mm-hmm.
is pretty much the deadline. If you haven't heard, can you call or make contact and find out if there was declination or if they haven't gotten to you or if there's something else going on?
Certainly. I mean, if you have applied and, you know, submitted successfully and you haven't heard anything, Something got dropped somewhere, because even if you applied, didn't get in, they would let you know that information. So certainly, whether it's email, phone call, definitely contact the admissions office to find, okay, where am I here?
So what is plan B? If either you don't get accepted into the school that has the program that you want, or you don't get accepted in the program, but you're into the school that you wanted. Are there still choices? Is that when the fallback is to go to a JC and then transfer out at the end of the 2 years? How does that strategy play out?
You know, that's certainly one option. We find more of our students faced with the first option of, you know, I get into my school, but I don't get into the program that I want to. You know, what do I do? Well, you know, you still go and you still, you know, get in that program because you're really into your general education, obviously, those first 2 years. And then see, you know, if spots open up. And, you know, it's kind of the seniors that I survey, you know, not everybody knows exactly what they want to do for a career. So unless you're really set on becoming an engineer or an accountant or a doctor, you know, you've got options once you get in there. So, you know, we certainly encourage that. Also for our international students, we find that they don't always get into regular admissions. They might have to do a summer program, and we say, hey, you're still in school, take care of the summer program, and then get into the university thereafter.
So there are still flexibilities if it doesn't seem to work out. Now, there are some schools, though, that if you aren't in the track as a freshman, you basically don't get that degree. Are those rare? Or are those becoming more and more common? Is there more and more people applying for more and more schools?
I think part of the reason for that is so that students are getting through in a more timely fashion rather than 5, 6, 7 years. Let's get them going right away, get those classes that they need to pass, and then, you know, it helps out the students so that they're not there for that extended period of time, paying more and more tuition. So get them focused early, certainly.
Are there schools, because I'm familiar with a couple of them, that have the 4 or 5 year guarantee? Mm-hmm. Is that becoming more and more common?
I think that's enticing to parents and families who say, yeah, I've, you know, saved up some money for college. I need it to last, you know, 4 or 5 years at the most, not 6 or 7. So, yeah, I think that's a good move on their part.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're at the Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Dave, part of the program, obviously, is getting the kids through the educational process, getting them on to college, if that's what their choice is, or military or vocational school or whatever it might happen to be. But once they're out and kind of free-floating at that point, does the school do a good job of continuing to make contact with the alumni or those that have supported the school in the past years?
You know, one of my goals is to hire an individual whose responsibility it is to maintain that contact, because we're talking a pretty significant network of, you know, a few thousand graduates that are out there that are spread not just across the U.S. but across the globe. That's an area I think that we want to get better at, so that we have those opportunities for them to come back and either just to visit or to be a part of it, or, you know, however they want to be involved. You know, I'd love to see more of that. But with quite a bit of our faculty, myself included, graduated St. Bernard's. And so we kind of have our own networks that we can pull in, get involved, and make them feel a part of it again.
With the wide dispersal of the kids all throughout the country going to school, and then who knows where they end up, you know, post graduation. How tough is it to bring everybody together or to have a core or to find out if they want to be part of the core. I mean, just that initial contact stuff.
Well, through you know, Facebook and email and all that sort of stuff, it's easier now. We've got the class of 95 getting ready for their, 20-year reunion coming up here pretty soon. What did I say?
That can't be.
No.
That wasn't 20 years ago.
What did I say?
It might be on the calendar, but it wasn't. No, not going to buy that one.
Which is a great class because our athletic director, Matt Tallman, was part of that class. And that was when I was going there, the senior class, as a freshman for me. So it'll be great to see how many come back. And that was a good group of kids.
And the fear on their face when they see you as top dog?
Fear or laughter or yeah. I don't know.
Yes, denial is part of my high school education. So what are you hoping for next year? Yeah, you got the international program going, you got the domestic program going, you've got a lot of folks on the staff and faculty. What does next year look like at this point? What are you projecting? New class offerings, new facilities? What's going to be the wow factor for next year?
We're putting our focus into more students, bringing in more students. We've got some capacity that we can add students without having to increase costs. And also part of that too, you know, getting new students also means helping to fund their education. So a scholarship drive is a part of that as well, so that we're, you know, extending this opportunity to come to St. Bernard's, not just for, you know, those that can easily afford it, but for those that, you know what, I'd love to have that sort of education, but, you know, how can we make it happen? That to me is, you know, opening the doors to more and more students is the wow factor, because for us, yeah, facility's nice, you know, but really it's the people that are teaching the classes that are the main attraction. And to me, the wow factor, because it's a great group that, you know, now coming into my fourth year, getting close to ending my fourth year, the team is set, and I love what we got going on.
4 years, huh?
Yeah.
It's been that long?
Yeah.
No! I'm now chronologically challenged in two areas. No!
Denial, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Is there going to be more of an integration of the international program?
Certainly. We've seen that as a need and one we've been looking to meet. Not just integrating students, but also assigning international students with a faculty advisor. You know, imagine that you are in a foreign country and, you know, you've got some peers, people your age that you become friends with, but who are those adults that you can go to and say, hey, I'm struggling with, you know, this subject or with this teacher, you know, how can you help me bridge the gap and communicate with that person?
Or trying to figure out what's at the movies or where the movies are. Yeah.
Oh, they got that.
Oh, they got
that
one.
They can teach us how to.
Imagine that. Yeah. Okay. Well, it sounds like everything's kind of teed up for you, huh?
I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
Good. Well, have a successful phone call campaign, dude.
Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop with Dave Sharp. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone. You'll see you tomorrow.